This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Happy Tuesday. I teased a little bit earlier in the show that there's something big that happened to me yesterday, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. We're going to wait till Ethan gets back in the studio to have that conversation. But I also have a photo to go along with it, and I'll be sharing that. This weekend we were in Peoria for volleyball, and we had a good tournament. Silver bracket champions. We had pool play, four teams per pool, and we went 1-2 in our pool. We lost our first match in three sets, close sets, good game, lost to a good team. We beat them earlier in the year. They got us in three this time. And then the second game, we lost in two. They're a good team also. And we played three matches in one day, and that was after a 2.5-hour drive up north that started at 7 a.m. So we had a really long Friday. Turned around Saturday, and then we won the rest of the games in the tournament, so it is what it is. You make lemonade out of lemons, and they played well and tried to push through a lot of adversity. So happy to do that. Happy to be back. But even four days, yesterday was Columbus Day. And that day was, my husband's a teacher, as many of you know. So he had yesterday off and the kids had yesterday off. So I took it off knowing we would be gone for a long weekend. This is anybody, I suppose, but if you go away for a weekend, you got four kids and you get back and there's like, you got to put everything away. You got to go through all of this recovery from spending a weekend away. I thought, okay, everyone else is going to be off. I'll take yesterday off. And the news cycle while I was gone, like I just kept seeing there is no break in the stories that are coming out and really continuing to drive the news cycle in the direction it's headed. With 21 days to go for this campaign season, it's going to be over just like that. It's going to be gone and it's going to be behind us. And then we're going to be in the position to react. And I don't know how ready I am for us to have something to talk about that happened as opposed to something that is going to happen, that is as magnificently pivotal as the next election. Kamala Harris could be the next president of the United States. So could Donald Trump. That's just kind of mind-blowing to me. I mean, we've been talking about it forever, but like we're almost there.
And I think part of the reason that it's so mind-blowing is that it's something, A, that we've been looking forward to for so long, and B, they're so drastically different of outcomes. So if like Kamala Harris becomes president, that is drastically different than what would happen if Donald Trump would become president. And, you know, for you and me, at least, one is drastically better than the other. And you kind of don't know how to feel about it. And like right now, there's a little piece in the fact that it hasn't happened yet.
Yes, I wish the Cardinals were in the playoffs. Completely, totally wish they were. But the amount of pressure and stress when the Cardinals are in the playoffs in October, like that weighs on me because I'm a big fan and I care. And it's, as you get older, I'm working on it, folks, 40 years old this year. I am reminding myself that if my team loses, the next day, the sun still rises in the east. Like, it's just kind of one of those things where I don't know if you care less, but you just care about other things more, that the priority order just gets shifted. It's not like you care. It's not like you stop caring about things that you cared about before. But as you move through your life, while your care for, like, say, the sports team that you support stays the same, there are just other things that you just care about, like, with your whole heart in its entirety, in a way that you just get to it when you can get to it. The Blues season starts today. And do you have any take on where their season is going? I am a huge supporter and fan of the St. Louis Blues, but I don't follow hockey the way I follow baseball.
So Ethan talked about this a little bit on Friday. Here he comes. That didn't take long.
Good grief. I summoned him. It's like, caw-caw! And then Ethan comes in.
Hello.
Hi, caw-caw. This is Battle Hawks.
Caw-caw, yeah.
Did you come in here to talk about the Blues?
Yeah, of course.
Are they going to be good?
Ish. So it's kind of an interesting track. It's now, before last season, Doug Armstrong basically said that the Blues are entering a retool, not a rebuild.
It's like a St. Louis thing.
Yeah, unfortunately, right now it is. The good thing, though, is that Doug Armstrong is off to a very good start with it. A couple years ago, when the Blues had what was for them a historically bad season, they drafted very well. It's really hard, and the Cardinals have been in the same spot now. It's really hard when you aren't getting top 10 picks in the draft to consistently be good and have a top farm system. And the Blues kind of just fell into a spot where they just kind of had mediocre talent coming up because they weren't able to get the top guys in the NHL draft because they're constantly pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So the Blues finally were able to get some of those top picks, and they've drafted very well. So it's kind of replenished their farm system. But also this past offseason, Doug Armstrong was able to speed up that process a little bit by bringing in a couple of guys from Edmonton on what was called an offer sheet. It's to save you guys time and interest. Something that is not done very often in hockey, took advantage of another team being really right up against the cap, and took advantage of that and got a couple of really young, talented players from Edmonton.
Sounds like smart business.
Yes, very smart business. And it's honestly, it's a perfect way to encapsulate Doug Armstrong being one of the best front office guys in hockey. What that did is it basically sped up the process for the Blues to be able to continue getting finding their way back to being one of the best teams in the NHL.
So they're going to be competitive this year?
They're going to be borderline playoff team this year. If they get in, it's going to be close. They're going to be a wild card team, likely.
This is all about managing expectations. Mm-hmm. This is what you do in politics also.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's really fun. Well, fun. It's exciting is the right word.
Mm-hmm.
To watch a candidate or watch a team that is pulling people together and trying to do something to exceed expectations.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a St. Louis Cardinals fan and you're used to a perennial playoff team, and then they don't make the playoffs or they haven't won a playoff game in Molly's lifetime, I don't know. How long has it been since they've won?
The last time that they won a playoff game was 2019.
Holy crap.
Yeah. No.
A game or a series?
That's a lie.
Oh, we're talking about the Cardinals. I was
2020,
like,
they won a game. They won a game against
nobody paid attention in
San Diego.
I guess everybody paid attention.
2021, they lost in the wild card.
So 2020,
they got swept. Yeah,
Molly
2020.
Molly was born in 2021.
Okay.
So Molly has not lived to know, because this is all we talk about
girl.
In my house. Yeah, I know. She's so deprived. That's tough. Well, it's exciting to know that the Blues could be competitive, but to understand, like, when we talk about retooling, maybe not rebuilding, but retooling, it's like you set the expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Like, listen, this could go one of two ways, but we're playing it like we want it to be success.
Yeah.
But you know, going in, that you got to watch to see if it becomes a success.
Right.
That's smart business too. I in October, I expect October to have Cardinals baseball in it. It doesn't.
It hurts.
It sucks.
It does suck.
But we're kind of getting acclimated to it. That's bad.
That does bad.
But when it's a presidential year, and you are also watching the Cardinals do playoff baseball, it's very difficult for me to manage that much energy and hopefulness.
Yeah.
it's the highs are too high and the lows are too low.
Yeah, it's almost like God said, just for you, Annie Fry, that that he was going to keep the Cards out of the playoffs this year because there's a big old presidential election, and he knows that you just wouldn't be able to take it. Your poor little heart just wouldn't be able to handle it.
Man, you just pissed St. Louis off from towards me from the whole area.
Well,
it's Annie's fault.
God's word's not mine.
Oh, no.
What is your thought? Speaking of God's words, and a nice little segue and shift here.
Nice.
What is your thought on 30% of evangelical voters not being registered to vote, or this idea that, like, just the question, not the assumption, but the question of, as a Christian, I don't know if I can vote for Donald Trump. Can I vote for Donald Trump as a Bible-believing Christian?
I have a hard time when it comes to politics, especially with the presidential race, focusing on it just being about one person. Like, yes, like, you are voting for Trump if you put the check mark next to Donald Trump. But I think that it's more than that. It's what comes with Donald Trump. It's what comes with the side of the alley that he represents. And that's where, you know, we've talked a lot in the past about the good morality, the values, the principles that the Republican Party is built on and tends to align more with my Christian values, beliefs, morals. It's not about Donald Trump, because I think that everything that you guys said in the 1 o'clock hour was spot on with that. When you start to get really sucked in on the individual, on the character, it can be really, really easy to pick that person apart.
Yeah.
And that can happen on both sides.
But, now, I mean, you could do it to me.
Yeah, exactly.
You could do it to any of us, especially if you had, like, unlimited resources.
And I'm not saying it would be as bad for everyone else in the world. No one's saying that Donald Trump is perfect, that he hasn't made some mistakes. But when you're in the limelight for your entire life,
yeah,
every single mistake that you make is out there. It is it's blown up. And that's part of, I guess that's part of the reality when that's the life that you choose to live. But for us everyday American citizens, you know, the mistakes we make, the dumb things that we do, not saying that all of them are to the level necessarily of some of the mistakes that Trump has made, but those aren't out there. We're not having to constantly hear about those from the American people. Mm-hmm. And like I said, that's part of what comes with running. That's part of it. But you would be... it would be crazy for someone to say that it doesn't happen more with Trump than right. It does with other people. And that's because the media specifically wants to expose that. So it goes back to, it can't be about, in my opinion, as far as the morality, the individual person. I think that Trump has shared and he has preached in the past, like, his beliefs. And I think that the work that he has done is enough evidence of that he cares. And I think that everything that we saw from 2016 to 2020, I think proved that. So it's really hard when you make it about the individual person rather than the principles of what that person is representing in their party.
Do you think Donald Trump's a Christian?
Oh, geesh. Have we not heard him... has he not said, publicly spoke about believing that Jesus Christ is his Lord and Savior?
I mean, Brad, you said earlier that you don't think he's a Christian.
I haven't heard of that.
I 100% think he's a Christian. I've heard him talk in that regard. I think he's a Christian, and I think that he's a Christian in the way a lot of people are Christians. I think that there is a Christian faith that a lot of people hold. Maybe they're raised with it, and it's almost more like it's a tradition. My family was Catholic, so I'm Catholic. But maybe you're a Catholic who doesn't go to church outside of the major holidays or when there's like a family event or something like that.
Okay, but let's say that he's not. What are, as a Christian, if he's not, okay.
You as a Christian,
you not,
if Donald Trump is not a Christian.
Correct. You not voting, what's the damage that that's going to potentially cause, right? Is that going to hurt
a great question.
Donald Trump more? Or is it going to hurt you more? Because, like you said, if it's about if it's about the party, if it's about the ideals of the party, not voting for Trump, it's closer to voting for, it's a non-vote for Trump is basically a vote for Kamala in my mind. And that's going to eventually, that's going to hurt you.
Yeah. You have something?
Go ahead.
Sorry. I was going to say, well, the other side of that is too, is like, you don't even have to think about how much harm it's going to do to you. You can think about the other people. You look at the economy and how things have been going. And if you look at the people that can least afford to have such a bad economy, your staying home is actually putting them under tremendous hardship. And for what reason? Because you say you can't do it. You can't bring yourself to vote for that man because he's so sinful.
Let's take a quick break here. When we come back, we can talk more about this and get some of your reaction to it as well. The YouTube live chat poll, how will Donald Trump finish in the election? Is he going to lose in a landslide? Is he going to lose a close one? Or is he going to win a close one or possibly even win a landslide? We had Joe Concha on at 125, and he answered this question, and he said, win in a landslide. That was the Joe Concha contribution. What is yours? Go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel and vote right there and tell us what you think. I'll read some of your comments when we come back. And I'm going to tell you boys in here and everybody listening about the major thing that happened yesterday. I want to share it with y'all when we come back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't go away. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. It's a good song for this segment. So yesterday I was off, as you might have noticed when you tuned in, heard the great Mike Elam filling in for us. I understand Kehoe was on the show yesterday, which is cool that he came on to talk about his race and what's going on in the state of Missouri. The Friday, we had volleyball games Friday, so I took Friday off because we were doing volleyball. We played our last game. I think it started at 1 o'clock on Sunday, got home 5:30, 6 o'clock or so. On Sunday evening, super wiped. Did you? What sports did you play, Ethan?
I played baseball and soccer in high school. I ran track.
Did you have
basketball,
weekend long tournaments and stuff? Did you do stuff like that?
Mm-hmm.
Fun, super physically taxing. Can be very emotionally taxing.
Yes, for sure. By the end of it, it's like, wait, where's my weekend?
Yeah, and it's gone. And then you're like, you got to go back to school. You got to go back to work.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. So. Monday was Columbus Day. My family was off. And so I decided I was just going to take that day off and recoup. And we also had promised that my daughter, so we have a 4-bedroom house. One of those bedrooms, obviously, is my bedroom with my husband. But one of the other 3 bedrooms are for my kid. Hold on a second. You talk. I got to clear my throat.
Hi, Brad.
Hey, Ethan.
How's it going?
It's going well. What do you think the Cardinals are going to be like in the next 2 years?
I love
years?
That we immediately go to the Cardinals.
You know, yesterday...
in her needing 5 seconds, we immediately go to the Cardinals.
Yeah, no kidding. Yesterday, Ethan did a Wiggins America, and he talked about sports, from what I understand, and you said somebody commented on the live chat that said, I don't come here for sports.
I listen to this show not for sports or
have
something like that.
Have you ever heard Wiggins America before? Like, sports is probably the most useful thing that was talked about in Wiggins
America.
I think
the funniest part was that the segment started at like 2:52, so it's literally like not even a 4-minute segment.
You got a 4-minute segment. No, you're for sports. Well, you know, we don't do it a lot, so we do 3 segments a week on fast food, so. Anyway. Sorry, I got a little choked up there.
Good now?
Yeah, probably. Until I start getting to the point.
I'll answer your question if she gets choked up again.
Yeah, no kidding. I'll try not to get emotionally choked up. I had promised my oldest daughter for her birthday, we said that we were going to rearrange the rooms in our house. So my son has his own room. And by default, he got the biggest bedroom of the kids' rooms. Because
as he should?
No, absolutely not. But it was painted. When we moved in, we didn't paint a wall in our house. And it was gray and it had this like, it was like the colors of our logo, red and blue and gray. It was Cardinals colors through and through. That's amazing. I got him a big fat head, STL and everything. And we didn't have to paint that room, so he got that room. And then when we moved in, we had 3 kids. Molly comes around, we now have 4 kids. So the baby of the family has always had their own little crib, nursery, whatever. And the older 2 girls have shared a room. Well, my oldest daughter is 12 now, and she's... My middle daughter is 8, and that there's a big difference in being a 7th grader and a 3rd grader. And Jensen has wanted her own room, and it's just such an ordeal to switch those rooms around. It is such a big deal. So we told her for her birthday this July when she turned 12, we said, we're going to do it. We're going to make this happen. We're going to make the time. So my husband and I committed yesterday to be the day that we... make the switch.
Quite the off day.
So we start the process, and it is a whole domino effect of movement, because the way this worked was the oldest daughter was going to move into what was the nursery, which is Molly's room. But in the room that Jensen and my second daughter shared, all of my second daughter's clothes were in the nursery closet because it's a full closet and my 3-year-old didn't need a full closet. So she actually had like her stuff in the nursery, but her bed in Jensen's room. So she kind of was spread between 2 rooms. We always used to be like, you don't have 1 room, you get to have 2 rooms, which also could also feel like she has no rooms.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So she was very emotional about Jensen moving out of the room. She still is very emotional. She's putting on the bravest face. Like last night, I got her these things for the 2 twin beds. One of them's a canopy, and it looks like a mosquito net. I'm just gonna be honest, but it hangs from the ceiling. And one of them's pink, and one of them's purple. It has glow in the dark stars on it, and it's just this canopy that goes around the whole bed.
That's pretty cool.
Super light. It's not gonna suffocate anybody. Don't freak out. Got her that, told her I was going to get her some other things so that she, you know, this is your room now. You're the big sister. You get to decorate. You get this blah, 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 blah. And she walked in and she saw it and she smiled, but she's a very emotional child in all the best ways. And she went and she sat down on her bed and she was smiling really big. And I could tell she was really fighting back the emotion. And I said to her, I go, Evelyn, what's wrong? I said, it's okay. You can talk about it. She goes, it's just going to take some getting used to. And then she started to cry. And it was so touching to see her, like, care so much about losing her big sister. So then the big sister comes in and hugged her, sat with her, and she's like, would you lay with me? And she's like, sure. So big sister put middle sister to sleep last night, read to her and stuff. But along the lines of all of this shuffling meant that we had to disassemble. I'm going to cry. I don't want to cry. This is how it happened yesterday. We had to disassemble the crib.
Oh, man. Look at that picture.
And the crib we put together when my son was born in 2009. We put that crib together in the first house that my husband lived in. That house we bought in 2007 took us 3 months to even make it livable because that's all we could afford at the time. And, you know, you put the, like, you remember when you put the crib together, Ethan? I'm going to tell you that right now. When you're expecting and you got all the papers out and all the Allen wrenches out and you're trying to put it together.
How the hell do I do this?
And yeah, exactly. And then, like, if you're dad, you're like, I got to lay in it myself because if it can support me, it can support my baby. And then your baby's like 7 pounds and you're not. So you put the crib together and you put all of the things in and around the crib that when you have the baby, you realize all of that stuff has to come out. You don't, you can't put any of that stuff around. It's just like crib sheet. Maybe a PP pad. So if the baby wets through their diaper, or what even worse, something else through their diaper that it gets on that, then you just take that up. You don't have to take the whole thing apart. You remember like the smell of the room when you put the crib together. And so yesterday we took the crib apart. And I'm so sad about it. I don't want more babies. I don't want more babies. I don't want that. I love my babies. I would have a dozen more babies if I didn't have to carry them because I'm just not good at being pregnant. But I didn't know that I was this upset about it. I didn't know that this bothered me or this was like, I think I've been putting this bedroom switch off for so long because I didn't want to take the crib apart because all the kids are surrounded. Like everybody came in my room Monday morning and was like, so what are we going to do today? When is this going to happen? And my oldest daughter, she's just like, she's so compliant and she's such a worker bee. She has really high expectations. She's very driven. And she like is looking at me like, are you ready to do this? And I kind of realized that I had been pushing off for so long doing any of this. And I didn't like, I couldn't even say it outside. Like, we're going to have to take the crib apart. And then I started to cry, just like I'm starting to cry right now. And you know, while I'm talking about this and embarrassingly getting emotional on the air about it, it just very much drives home to me a reminder of what is really important. We talk about things on the show all the time that are very important things, but the reason why all of the other things are important are because of these types of things. Because the people in your life, the people who you love, the people who love you, the people who rely on you, the people who you rely on, like, all of this is what is super, super important, not the politics of it, not the, you know, who are you going to vote for? Are you going to vote? Like all of this stuff, like all of that stuff matters, but it only matters because of the things that are the actual priorities in life. And so when it came time to take the crib apart, I told my husband, I'm like, I can't do it. I cannot be the person who takes the crib apart. And listen, I'm the captain of that ship when things need to get done in the house. My husband, great worker bee, very helpful, most helpful person I know. But I'm good at organizing step-by-step processes to get these types of jobs done. And I told my husband, I was like, I can't be the one to take it apart. In the process of doing all of this, we had to go acquire a box springs from somebody that I got off of Facebook for my son's new bed because the bed my son was sleeping in had to go in the big in my daughter's bedroom.
Were his feet like dangling off yet?
He was in a full size bed and now he's in a queen size bed, and he was happy with it because he had slept on a twin before. So all of this stuff had to go around. I'm like, I cannot be the person to take this bed apart.
Just wait till he has to go from a queen back to a twin on his college days.
Extra long.
That was the worst.
Yeah. And when it came time to take everything apart, we needed it to get done. And my husband was gone to pick up some of the furniture that we were moving into my son's room. And I'm like staring at this crib and I'm like, I cannot do this. I would be making jokes, doing the mom thing. You know, like when mom goes into hardcore cleaning mode. I'm really good at that. That's not how my kids would describe it.
Would they describe it?
Militant. Driven and focused. That's the political spin. And Jensen goes, I can take it apart, Mom. And I was like, oh my God. But like, I couldn't tell her no because it had to be done, but she took it apart. And I didn't supervise her. I left the room because there's a million other things to do. And I just thought in that moment, like all the kids were helping get all that stuff done. And I was just proud to have a daughter who could like take that on and do that for me, because I think she did it more for my emotional state than the militant mom mode that had been activated.
Mm-hmm.
But they're just little things that happen in life that are happening to people every day in life that you don't always know that, like, the big life moment that that person went through that day was she had to take the crib down. So just be kind to people and be aware that, like, so much life is being lived on a daily basis. We get so wrapped up in polls and, you know, elections and maybe even, like, stupid petty fights that you have from someone that you're like, you know, you don't like that person, or you don't get along with that person, but you can't really remember why. And if you had to explain to somebody why that was, it would feel kind of silly to say it out loud. Just remember to be kind to people and to look at the things that stop you in your tracks, because they're emotional things and they're really important things and they matter. And it, even if it's like a small thing to everybody else around you, if it's a big thing to you, to pay attention to that, to acknowledge it. And to kind of just live there for a minute, because it's like literally what it's all about. I also said we are not going to get rid of the crib because I will put my grandbabies in it. And then I gave a stern look to all of my children. So we'll take a quick break. We'll get the results of the poll when we come back.
A lot of men think Democrats care more about dudes who want to become women than dudes who just want to be dudes.
Well,
no hunting, cosplay, or cringy videos is going to change it. The bet is made.
So Scott Jennings talking about Democrats and where their focus has been. I guess that video, I'm going to save this to talk about tomorrow when Ryan Wiggins is back, but the I'm a man video.
What, the I eat carburetors for breakfast?
Yeah, I said he meant I eat carburetos. I don't know a man who introduces... So this is a video that, if you haven't seen this video, I should give some backstory to this. But we'll talk about it a little bit more when Ryan Wiggins comes back tomorrow, since we'll all be back in the studio together tomorrow. But every single thing that the Harris-Walz campaign does to identify... To develop a connection with a certain demographic of voters feels like the most pandery, faux, just blatantly ist attempt to try to be like, we see you. I don't know men who sit around and say, I'm a man, and then like... Yeah, usually men want you to be able to see and tell that without having to say, I'm a man. The constant pandering to the black vote in the way that the Harris-Walz campaign has pushed out their messaging to the black vote. It's like, I don't think that they are actually in communication with black voters or voters who happen to be black to listen to what they have to say. They very much so just kind of go on stereotypes and then serve that up to them. It's just so saccharine. This is Pastor Lorenzo Sowell talking about it. Listen to
what they're saying. They want a president that, number one, can help us with election integrity. We understand that in the city of Detroit, election integrity is an issue. The second thing, we want a president that can hold accountable our local and our state government from the resources that are already here. We already have federal funding through agencies like SBA, which President Donald Trump opened up that portal in a way that it has never been opened up in the history of the SBA, which, by the way, was started by Republicans. And we want a politician that's real, that wants to come here and listen to us. Vice President Harris, she's not spoken to any pastors. Vice President Harris, she continues to think that she can entertain her way to the black vote. We are offended, and we want her to be willing to actually bring real solutions to the complex problems that we're facing in urban America.
I mean, I'd listen to what that pastor has to say. Like, the issues that black people face, black people and white people go into a grocery store and pay the same prices for the goods that are in there. And it doesn't matter if you're a poor white person or a rich black person. If prices are 20% or more higher than they used to be, that still is a problem for anybody who's swiping that product at the store and having to pay more for it. It's weird to hear about. It's weird to hear from the party that wants to talk about like being there for women's issues or black issues. The party that will also criticize Donald Trump when he talks about black jobs, like they do it all the time. And when Donald Trump says black jobs, they quickly just turn it on its head and try to say, if since he said black and something else, that it's some sort of racist dog whistle or something. When the libs are the ones who hear the dog whistle all of the time. They kind of control, that's kind of what they peddle in on a regular basis. They want you to just think of things on a surface level of, well, my skin color is this, so I guess that means that. Well, my gender is this, so I guess that means that. And I really feel like Americans are starting to go, no, I care about real issues. I care about important things. J.D. Vance and Martha Raddatz had it out over real issues.
Exaggerated.
Grossly exaggerated.
That means there's got to be some element of truth here. And of course, President Trump was actually in Aurora, Colorado, talking to people on the ground. And what we're hearing, of course, Martha, is that people are terrified by what has happened with some of these Venezuelan gangs.
Senator Vance, I'm going to stop you because I know exactly what happened. Martha. I'm going to stop you. The incidents were limited to a handful of apartment complexes, and the mayor said our dedicated police officers have acted on those concerns. A handful of problems.
Only, Martha, do you hear yourself? Only a handful of apartment complexes in America were taken over by Venezuelan gangs, and Donald Trump is the problem and not Kamala Harris's open border?
They've completely lost touch. You could make the case that what is taking place in Aurora isn't on Joe Biden or Kamala Harris. I mean, I'd like to see them try. I think the reason they're not making that case is because it's not an easy one to make. But the idea that there is an acceptable amount of Venezuelan gangs taking over American apartment complexes to Martha Raddatz and ABC, let them speak. Let the Martha Raddatzes of the world do that, because you know immediately where they are. Their biggest threat, the biggest threat to the people like that, the media industry professionals like that, is Donald Trump. What is Donald Trump going to do that is so frightening to them that they're like, well, it wasn't a lot of Venezuelan gangs and apartment complexes, just a few? There's an absurdity to it that is almost humorous, except for the fact that people are being run out of their homes by Venezuelan gangs in Colorado. Real story. Not a big deal to Martha Raddatz. They just want to know what Donald Trump's cholesterol level is. It's absurd. You know it's absurd. I know it's absurd. I think that's why Kamala Harris is not doing so hot. Our YouTube live chat poll for today is, how will Donald Trump finish in the election? Lose in a landslide? Lose closely, win closely, or lose in a win in a landslide? 5% said lose in a landslide. 9% said lose closely. 36% say that Donald Trump will win in a landslide, and 49% of you believe he's going to win a close election. Y'all feeling pretty good about Donald Trump's chances of winning with 338 votes in. Thank you for participating. We'll be back tomorrow, but up next, Mark Reardon.
Get more at 971talk.com. Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.